Tens of thousands of hungry refugees have fled the conflict in Sudan's Nuba Mountains to seek refuge across the border in South Sudan over the past 2 months. Makram Max Gassis is the Catholic Bishop of Sudan's El Obeid Diocese, which includes the state of Kordofan, where the Nuba Mountains are located. A vocal critic of human rights abuses in his homeland, Bishop Makram's name has been put forward for nomination to this year's Nobel Peace Prize. The Sudanese prelate has been visiting several European nations to lobby governments to press both sides involved in the Sudanese conflict to agree to a ceasefire. He told me that Khartoum's forces are carrying out near daily bombing raids in the Nuba Mountains region and are intentionally trying to starve its inhabitants, many of whom would prefer their region to merge with South Sudan.
In a time of war like ours, it is very difficult to have statistics. But I can tell you that thousands of people have already died either because of the conflicts that are taking place between North and South or because of tribal clashes, as you know, between Dinkas and Nuer and others. Thousands have died. And in addition to that, all these militias that are being supported, financed and armed by the regime of Khartoum.
Is it true that there is also, in addition to the casualties caused by the fighting, a lot of hunger and even starvation among civilians in some of the affected areas, particularly in the Juba Mountains?
Yes, the Nuba Mountains now has become a carbon copy of what has been happening in Darfur. So because Khartoum has closed all the doors of relief and supplies to the Nuba Mountains, so the Nuba are suffering now hunger. Hunger will lead to starvation very soon. Of course, the aerial bombardment on daily basis, it became a kind of a routine now for the Nuba to be bombed every day by Khartoum, conducting them by Russian-made Antonovs or by MiGs. So now the people are afraid. Some of them went to South Sudan, but the bulk of the population, they take refuge in caves on their own mountains. Secondly, with the fear of the aerial bombardment, people do not cultivate. So this is creating a lack of food.
And the people that do manage to escape, what tales are they telling?
Well, they are telling that they are left their families or part of their families there. And they don't know what's happening to them. Yes, they are there in a better shape in a sense because there are many NGOs in that area, whether you say the World Food Program or Samaritan Purse or Concern, they are all there. The trouble is that in the Nuba Mountains, none of these organizations is operating, and it's only the diocese that is operating, that is, has become a beacon of hope for the people.
Now, I know you're lobbying European governments during this visit to the continent to press both sides involved in the conflict to agree to a ceasefire and, of course, to allow access by humanitarian agencies, which, as you say, is not at the moment allowed. How sympathetic a hearing have you been receiving from the European governments, and do you think they will put additional pressure on the Khartoum regime?
I always try to think positively, and I hope they will listen to my voice. I am the megaphone of my people. And so I explained, without chewing my words, without sugaring my words, exactly what is the situation. And I said, this is becoming a dangerous issue, not only for the Nuba, but for humanity. Because if these Nuba people are wiped off the map, you can imagine the loss of brothers and sisters that they can really be of good and positive things in life as the Nuba. And if people go and try, they protect the elephants and the lions from extinction. I don't know why can't they protect the lives of the Nuba, who are their brothers and sisters in humanity.
What about the Sudanese government's promise to hold a popular consultation on the future of these areas of, particularly in the Nuba Mountains, the southern Blue Nile province, and, of course, the oil-rich Abyei regions?
Have they ever honoured any of their promises? This is my question. This issue of popular consultation hasn't even taken off the ground. just at the beginning of the celebration of the secession and the independence of the South, this issue of popular consultation was immediately cancelled. And instead, they wanted to have this election for the governor, a governor that was brought from Darfur and is wanted by the ICC. And they bring him to be governor also of the Nuba Mountains. Of course, the Nuba said, we are not going to accept this. We are not going to accept what Khartoum wants. The Khartoum wanted that the SPLA in Kordofan, in southern Kordofan, the Nuba Mountains, to hand over all their weapons and to have their soldiers being amalgamated or absorbed by the national forces of Khartoum. They said, no, we can't trust you because you did not honor this agreement of popular consultation. And here we have now exactly the war between the Nuba people and Khartoum forces.
Right, let's look now at the situation in South Sudan, where, of course, as you well know, it's been extremely tense. There's been a lot of skirmishes and fighting. Do you fear the resumption of an all-out war between Sudan and South Sudan?
I don't think it's in the interest of any part to start a whole, what you call, engaged war. Both are going to be losers. Both are going to lose. Both are going to suffer. And who is going, above all, to pay the consequences? If the government of Khartoum, if I call it a government, and the government of South Sudan, they are going to bring their forces and their armies to fight, it's the civilians who are going to pay the consequences. Is that moral? Is that correct? Is that going to solve the problem? Or the problem can be solved as civilized human beings. They sit at the negotiating table and try to take it from there, from the signing of the comprehensive peace agreement, and see the points which were not implemented and try to implement them.
You are often described as a hero for having championed the rights of Sudan's minorities, and you are among the candidates proposed for the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize. What's your reaction to such accolades? And also, do you fear for your life ever?
Well, anybody who's a human being is afraid to lose his or her life, because life is a gift of God and we should try to protect it. But if you speak about this Nobel Prize, I don't receive it for my honor. I give it to my people.